It has been said that behind every great man is a great woman. And while that is not a biblical statement, I believe that it portrays a biblical principle. When you think of great men in the Old Testament, and when you think of great individuals who have done great things, often we focus in on the man himself, and we forget that there may be a woman or more women in his life that brought him to that point. When I think of a great man of the Old Testament, Moses comes to my mind. He was a liberator. He led Israel out of Egypt. He was a lawgiver, and he was a leader. But how did he get to that point? How did he get to the point of having the courage to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? How did he get to the point of going up to Mount Sinai and getting that law? How did he get to the point of leading the Israelites through the wilderness in a very difficult situation? How did he get to that point? Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, in his sermon in the scripture reading that we just had, tells us a little bit about how that success came about. This morning, I want to look at the four women in the life of Moses. And I think sometimes we focus in on the great individual and we forget about how that came about. And I want us to focus on how that came about. We're going to look at four women in the life of Moses. And one thing that we're going to notice here this morning is that they all made a choice to do what was right and to be what was right. And the greatness of Moses did not come about accidentally or coincidentally. It came about purposefully. And there were women in his life that brought that about. You probably know why I'm doing this lesson this morning. What is it about someone who raises a good leader? What is it about someone who makes that happen? We're going to find that in the lives of these four individuals that they were intentional. A few years ago, I noticed in some of the religious bookstores, intentional fatherhood, intentional motherhood, that's the title of these books. And what they were trying to portray was, to be a good father and to be a good mother, it's intentional. You have to get up each day and plan in advance that this is what I'm going to do. It doesn't happen accidentally or coincidentally. We need more intentional fathers or intentional mothers. And you're going to find this morning in our lesson that these women were intentional. A lot of times people want the great blessings of God, but they don't want to do the work to get that. But that's not how that works. We've got to get up each day with a mindset that this is how we're going to not only raise our children, but how we're going to do the Lord's work. We don't just get up and exist and maybe by the end of the day I accidentally bump into doing something that's right. When you look at great individuals both in the Old and New Testament, you find that there was an intentionality about that. And that's how they arrived at where they wanted to be. And I'd like to see us have more of that in our life today. Turn back with me, if you will, to Exodus chapter 1 and 2. And let's begin to look at the four women in the life of Moses. We all know that he was a great man. If you were to say, name me a great character out of the Old Testament, I'm sure Moses would be on the list. But have you considered the women in his life that brought that about? And in the case of his mother, he would literally not be in the Bible if it were not for his mother. Have you stopped to consider the women and the individuals like that that bring about a great person. And so I truly believe that behind every good man or every great man is a good woman or a great woman. Because the Bible teaches that. You know the setting in Exodus chapter 1, how we are told, and even Stephen references this in Acts 7, that there was a Pharaoh who knew not God. If I understand the chronology of Egypt and the Pharaohs and the life of Moses, Moses was born and lived and died under 5 different Pharaohs. Thutmose the first, the second, and the third. Amenhotep the second and the third. He was born, he lived, and died under 5 Pharaohs. If I understand the chronology correct in Exodus chapter 1, the Pharaoh who knew not Joseph, Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8, and following, that would be Thutmose the first. We'll talk about his daughter in just a minute. The time is difficult. We know the story in Exodus chapter 1. We focus in on how that the king or the Pharaoh had pronounced that the male Hebrew babies would be killed. But we also need to remember that he was making their life difficult. Chapter 1 and verse 11, there were taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. This is a very difficult period of time. And in this difficult period of time, a baby is born and named Moses. This is not just some little, children's Bible class story. It's much more than that. It's about some women who brought about a great man. And I want to focus on that this morning. I want you to get the setting, that the setting is difficult. We've been talking in 1 Peter about Christian suffering. If you look at some Bible stories, a lot of times there are Bible stories where the individual that becomes a great individual is born during a difficult time. Today, it's kind of like, well, I'm born in a difficult time, and so I can't serve God. Yes, you can. Look at the setting. Look at the time frame. This baby boy is born in a difficult time. And we're going to learn that his parents had faith in God, and we're going to do what is right even in a difficult time. We don't begin to see in Exodus chapter 2, and so they began to make excuses. We don't read about that. What we read about is intentionality, fortitude, mental fortitude and intentionality and purposefulness in serving God even in a difficult time. We need that today. We're losing that today. And so in this time frame, I want us to pick up the reading in chapter 2 and verse 1, and let's begin to see the 4 women in the life of Moses. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Now when you turn over to Exodus chapter 6 and Numbers chapter 26, you find that their names are Amram and Jochebed. And the woman, Jochebed, conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime, your version might say, pitch or tar. And she put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and she saw the ark among the flags, and sent her handmaid to fetch it. And she opened it and saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take the child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, or Moshe, and said, because I drew him out of the water. Now we all remember the children's Bible class lesson. I remember that growing up, and baby Moses in the ark. But what is surrounding this event? Already in the first 10 verses, we've read about three females in 10 verses. Something else is going on here, and that's what I want to explore this morning. The first woman in the life of Moses, of course, is his mother. And she is an example of faith in God. You may recall in chapter 1, when the king or Pharaoh is ordering the baby boys to be killed, that the text says twice in chapter 1, verse 17, and again later in verse 21, that the Hebrew midwives feared God. I want you to underscore that in your Bible. And Jochebed is going to be like her. These are individuals who fear God. These are individuals who put God over man. These are individuals who believe in God and fear God, meaning trust Him and obey Him in difficult times. I'm going to listen to God and not the king. And brethren, when we find ourselves in times like that today, we need to have faith in God. Let us never downplay the faith in God that a mother plays when a baby is born. Never downplay that. We need more of that in our world today. Somebody says, well, it's difficult times, so we have to cave and give in. And the Pharaoh, he's strong, so we have to cave and give in. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. No, we do not. The first woman in the life of Moses was a woman who, along with her husband, feared God and had faith in God. They're in a worldly environment. I want you to understand Egypt. I want you to understand the idolatrous environment that they're in, and yet they are maintaining their faith in God, much like today. Men, did you notice this past week when you went to get your Mother's Day card, and you did go get your Mother's Day card, right? Did you notice how many or how few religious cards are there? Did you notice that? I remember as a child, you could find all kinds of religious cards, and Sherry and I were talking about that this morning at breakfast. Did you notice how many religious cards are there? Why is that? Because we're in an increasingly secular environment, that's why. And we need individuals, in the lives of individuals, to have faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents. Jochebed is a woman in the life of Moses that has faith in God because they saw he was a goodly child and they were not afraid of the king's command. We need that today. We need to have more respect for God and His Word, where we will stand up and have some fortitude and have some faith. And not cower, and not cave. And so the first woman in the life of Moses is a woman that has great faith in God. We talk about the greatness of Moses, but it began in the home with the greatness of his mother. And we need today the strength to stand up and have faith in God and to believe and trust the Lord and not fear others. Like Timothy had a mother and a grandmother who had a faith, and that faith was passed on to him. Your child needs that. Your grandchild needs that. And even if we don't have those individuals in our lives, we can be individuals who pass on that faith. We're in a very secular world. Moses didn't get his start. You've heard that expression, leaders are not born, they're made. I'm sure you've heard that before. And it's true. Well, who's making them? In part, it begins, well, not in part, in a very great part, it begins with the mother. And so this morning, you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, do we have the strength to believe and trust in the Lord and not fear others? Underscore that in your Bible, not fearing the wrath of the king. Oh, I'm scared. And it's a difficult time. And we're having to build these cities. My husband and all the men are out there building the cities of Python and Ramses. They're out there working hard, and the king has got all of these ungodly practices going on. Let's kill the baby boys. It's an immoral environment, and it's a dictator environment, and it's an ungodly environment. And yet you have this couple, and you have this mother who has faith in God. That's what makes another individual great. To be raised in a home like Timothy, to have a mother and a grandmother, and from a babe, 2 Timothy 3:15, to have a mother who's going to teach the scriptures from a babe. Part of that is being here for Bible class and being here for worship. Part of that is reading our Bible in the home. Part of that is imparting that in our words to our children. The first woman in the life of Moses was a woman of great faith in God. Now, I know of some who did not do that early in life. I know of some who did not make that decision early in life. They were not the mother or the father that they should have been. God was missing probably early in life, and I was off doing something else. But I've known of some, and there's been a couple with us just recently who have said, no more. And here I am midlife, and I'm gonna turn that around, I'm gonna change, and I'm gonna be different. We can change, brother. Maybe we look back over our life and maybe we see, well, you know, I really wasn't that faith in God that I should have been. But it doesn't have to be so today. And I've known of those who have just turned around 180 degrees. And there's now going to be God in my life and in the lives of those around me as much as possible. A woman of faith in God made Noah. But turn with me to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's look at the second woman in the life of Moses, and that is his sister. And she becomes an example, whereas her mother was an example of faithfulness, she becomes an example of resourcefulness. Some suggest she might be 10 years old. She's not very old. She's a young girl at this time. We're going to talk about her a little bit when she gets to become an adult over in chapter 15. She's just a child. But what does she do? She sees what's going on and she goes to Pharaoh's daughter and says in verse 7, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew women? The second woman in the life of Moses is one who's known for her resourcefulness. This little girl did what she could. This little girl opened her mouth, went to Pharaoh's daughter, used what she had, which was her mouth and her tongue and her words, to save her brother. When I look at the life of Miriam, I see three key events in her life. I see her as this child. In just a minute, we're going to look at her as a prophetess, praising God in Exodus 15. And then I see her in Numbers chapter 12, where she and Aaron, she's using her voice again to complain against Moses' leadership, in particular the woman that he had married. When I look at the life of Miriam, I see her as someone who's using her tongue, her mouth, her words. I believe her life can be summarized in that way. Here, just as a little girl, she's using her tongue to save her brother. Her resourcefulness. This is someone who's saying, I have a talent, I'm going to use what God gives me to do what I need to do to help others and save others. That's the second woman in Moses' life that made him what he was. The desire to use your talent to benefit others. Today I hear so much of, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. I wasn't made for this and I wasn't made for that. I'll let other people volunteer for this and that. I need to get up and use what God gives me to serve the Lord and to serve others. It reminds me of the woman in Mark chapter 14 and verse 8 that had a vial there, a case of ointment, pure nard, precious ointment. And she broke it and she let that flow on Jesus and anointed His feet. And Jesus said she had done what she could. I'll tell you what, Miriam, I don't know exactly her age. All I know is she did what she could. She spoke up. She saved her brother. Will you use the resources that God gives you? It might be your educational background. It might be your upbringing. It might be your material possessions. It might be whatever it is in your life. Are you using that to serve the Lord and to serve others? Or are we letting our talent, like the one talent man, go to waste? And in Matthew chapter 25, he said, I was fearful and I hid my talent. So Miriam could have said, I don't want to get involved. I'm not going to get involved. This woman's father is killing Hebrew baby boys. I'm not going to get involved. That would be the sentiment today. So we make excuses and we say why we can't do this and we can't do that. She stepped up to the plate as a little girl. It reminds me of the girl in 2 Kings chapter 5 who went to Naaman's wife and said, oh, that my master knew about the prophet in Israel who could heal him. And one thing led to another, and all of a sudden Naaman gets healed because of a little girl, a little maiden girl. Somebody says, well, I'm just a young person. Young people can do great things for the Lord. Use the talents that God gives you. Use the resources that God gives you. The second woman in the life of Moses is his sister who speaks up and saves her, saves him. You know, maybe you're here this morning, you were blessed to have a mother that had faith in God. I was blessed to have a mother that had great faith in God. Maybe you were raised with a mother who had great faith in God. But I also had a sister who saved me. There were two girls and then six boys. I'm the last of eight children. And I've got a very close relationship with the second sister that was born. My oldest sister passed away back in around 2019. My next sister down, I've always been very close to her growing up. Really appreciate that close relationship. She's told me on different occasions, and it's kind of embarrassing because it involves Chris in diapers. It's kind of embarrassing. But it's the old, you know, I changed your diapers thing, and she did. But there were several times she tells me that I would be, you know, 2-3 years old, maybe a little bit older. She is 15 years older than I am, so she left home when she was 18, went to college. So when I was about 3, she was about 18, I would be misbehaving. I would be doing things that we were not supposed to do, and she would come and literally snatch me up and take me away from the situation and get me away from that because she knew that a whipping was about to happen. And she got there before Dad showed up with the belt. I had a sister who saved me a few times. Brethren, let's use our talents to speak up and do what we need to do to save those around us. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 6. The third woman in the life of Moses, as you know, is Pharaoh's daughter. If Thutmose the first was the Pharaoh under which Moses is born, we know from history that he had a daughter named Hatshepsut. say Hatshepsut 10 times real fast. History tells us about Hatshepsut, Pharaoh's daughter. This woman in the life of Moses is a woman who is known for her kindness, and the text says that she had compassion on him. The greatness of Moses is it attributed to a mother who's known for her faith in God, to his older sister who's known for her resourcefulness, and number three, for a woman who's willing to step out of her natural role and take on someone else out of pure compassion. To raise someone that I technically don't have to raise. To be a part of someone's life that I technically don't have to do that. And yet I'm willing to step out of my comfortable zone and world and reach out to someone who's not even an Egyptian. Not mine, not an Egyptian. She had compassion on him. And in Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, nurtured him, brought him up. You know what made Moses great was to have a woman in his life that was willing to sacrifice and to serve for others. You hear me say this all the time, brethren, that we're in a selfish world. It's a look out for me first world. And we need more of this other. Do you know that the daughter that we've been announcing that passed away that belonged to Edna, that was one of her adopted children. Talk with her sometime about the several adopted children that she raised. Not one, several. Talk with her about that. This is one of them. Not her biological daughter. She took on several through the years and raised them and nurtured them. That takes a special person to step out and to have that. It's hard enough to take care of your own. Carlin, you're a gem. But it's hard enough to take care of your own. But to reach out and to do that for somebody else, I'm going to have to be selfless. Maybe she took on this with regard to at great peril. It's very possible. Her father's wanting to kill the baby boys and she's wanting to save one of them. There may have been great peril involved. I don't know. We're not told. But I do know the text says that there was compassion involved and kindness and love. We just sang the song, "Oh, to be like thee." We sang in that verse about kindness and loving and tender and compassion and helping the helpless. Let us go out and do that. It's easy, like the priest and the Levite, to walk by on the other side. Oh, that's not my problem. She could have seen that little baby boy. Well, that's not my problem. And take it in. And he was raised by a woman who adopted him, if you will. And she showed kindness and compassion in serving them and sacrificing for them. And brethren, we need to do the same. In Luke chapter 8, I'm told about some women upon whom Jesus had cast out evil spirits and others. And in return, the text says that they ministered unto Jesus and the apostles of their own goods. They just simply wanted to take care of others. Certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, that was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. I know she was happy. And Joanna, the wife of Chusas, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who ministered unto them of their substance. Those individuals sometimes in the scripture get overlooked. Because they're not the main character. Jesus is the main character and the 12. Nobody, everybody forgets about the women on the side who... How did they eat? You ever thought about that? How did Jesus and the apostles eat? How did they eat? Where did they get their food? And other daily necessities. There were women who took care of them. The third woman in the life of Moses was Pharaoh's daughter, who was willing to sacrifice and bring him up and raise him up, maybe at great peril. And when you turn to Acts chapter 7, and we know what a great leader he was, the text says his words and his deeds. When he was raised in the way of the Egyptians, that would have included a great education. Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and works. That served him as he led the Israelites throughout Egypt. Where did he get that education? Because a woman had compassion on him and took him out of that watering basket and raised him up. We would not read about him in the Bible if it were not for his mother. We would not be reading about this if it were not for Miriam and if it were not for Pharaoh's daughter. These are the kinds of individuals who we need today, who our children and our grandchildren need and who others need from our lives. And then last of all, turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. Let's look at the fourth woman in the life of Moses. When it comes time after a period of time of Moses being raised as the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter for 40 years, then Moses is going to be out in the wilderness for 40 years and he's going to return to Egypt and he's going to come back after talking with God at the burning bush and he's going to come back and he's going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. So it's time for him to come back to Egypt. So he's on his way back and there's another woman in his life now. It's his wife. Look with me at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 24. And it came to pass on the way at the lodging place that Jehovah met him, Moses, and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, "Surely a bridegroom of blood art thou to me." So he let him alone. Then she said, "A bridegroom of blood art thou because of the circumcision." When Moses was in the land of Midian, he took a wife of Jethro, Jethro's daughter. Her name is Zipporah. These are children of Abraham and Keturah, Genesis chapter 25, the Midianites. And he marries this woman. And on the way back, there's a lot of things that we would like to know about that we're not told. We're not told why Moses hadn't circumcised his son yet. He knew about it, Genesis chapter 17. But for some reason, he didn't do it. We're not told, was he lazy? I doubt it was ignorance. They knew about Genesis 17. Was it laziness? Was it fear? Was it just simple neglect? I haven't gotten around to it yet. But I know this, that his wife took that knife and did what she was supposed to do, and it kept Moses from being killed. I want you to notice the last woman in the life of Moses is a woman of decisiveness. And we need that today. We need more of that today. We need godly women who will be decisive in their actions. I see so much today of just everybody's dragging their feet. Well, you know, I don't know. Should we do it? I don't know. Let's have a committee meeting. Let's talk to some. Let's vote on it. Brethren, if we know that it's right, get up and do it. Everybody drags their feet today. Let somebody else do it. She did what Moses should have done on the eighth day. That Gershom, if that's the son that's being talked about here, the eighth day he should have done that. And when he chose not to do that, Zipporah realized this is a problem. And brethren, we can't go lead others until we ourselves are first right with God. Moses can't go back to Egypt and say, "Hey, let's do what God wants." Somebody say, "You haven't even circumcised your son. And you're trying to lead us?" How hypocritical would that have looked, you see? Moses can't be a good leader until he and his family are right.
That's why with regard to the qualifications of elders, there's so much about the wife and the family that are there. They get their own marriage and family right. Then they can take care of the household of God. And this wasn't right. He hadn't circumcised his son yet. And she steps up to the plate and does it like that. Problem solved. We need decisiveness, brethren. We need the strength to act and to do what is right when others will not. And there's so much of that going on today. Step up and do what is right. We've been studying in 1 Peter chapter 3 earlier, a few class periods ago, about a woman who's a Christian and her husband's not a Christian. That happens. And the woman is going to have to make the decisive decision to act. I'm gonna come to services every week. Well, my husband is not supportive of that. Well, I'm gonna do it anyway. I'm gonna read my Bible and I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna serve the Lord and I'm gonna take action. I know that it's the right thing to do. What if your husband wasn't doing what he was supposed to do? Zipporah had that going on. She did it. She did what was supposed to be done when he wouldn't do it. What a great picture this is in the life of a great leader. I think about the woman in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and following, who pressed through the crowd to get to Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, and she was healed and her faith had made her whole, but she pressed through the crowd and got to Jesus. She didn't sit around and say, well, you know, should I do it? I don't know. Let me talk to somebody first. She just did it. And she got what she needed. And the Syrophoenician woman in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 and following, she's got a little daughter that needs to be healed, and she kept at it with Jesus until she got that. She didn't let Jesus deter her or the disciples. Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. She kept at it until she got what she needed. And we need that today. The fortitude and the strength and the decisiveness to act and do what is right in all situations. Brethren, Moses was a great man, but behind him was the faithfulness of his mother. To have faith in God, the resourcefulness of talent in his sister, and later in Exodus chapter 15, she used her talent to gather the other women around after they've crossed through the Red Sea, and she praised God with her mouth. Moses was great because he was raised by a woman who, we would call it simple kindness and compassion, but put him in a position to learn and grow and be a great leader. The sacrifices that she would have had to have made. And you talk to people who have adopted others, and You hear about their heartaches and their sacrifices. But whether we formally adopt someone or informally mentor someone or take someone under our wing that's technically not our own child, but to reach out and help others, whether it's in the church or in the world, do you realize the path that we can put people on if we will do something like that? Sherry and I know a young couple and where Carlin attends at East Shelby. They've adopted, Sherry, three children? All born from the same crack mother up in the Northeast. Do you realize the path that these children are on now versus what they would have been on? Wow. But you talk with them? Yes. Big sacrifices, great sacrifices. And Moses had that. And then last of all, he had a wife that was decisive in her actions to do what was right. I hope that this has helped us this morning. I believe that there are some great men here, but I also believe that there are some great women somewhere, maybe even presently now in your life or in the past, who have contributed to your greatness.
I'm thankful that I had a mother that had faith in God. I'm thankful that I had a sister that saved me from time to time. I've definitely got a wife that has helped me make the changes that I need to make, and she continues to do that. And I'm thankful for others, my mother-in-law and others, who have taken me as acts of kindness to help me along the way. Maybe you've had these same things. But that's what makes us who we are, in addition to things like God's providence and things like that. Great women who are behind great men. Let's go out, whether we're man or woman this morning, let's go out this morning with a renewed zeal to have a stronger faith in God, to step up and use our talents and be resourceful and not make excuses, to be willing to show acts of kindness and compassion to those that we may not even be literally related to be decisive. And one way that you can be decisive this morning is to act. I haven't been baptized into Christ. I need to come forward and do it. Just do it. We need these qualities. They make other individuals great. They make us great. And if we can encourage you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?